in the book of Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read 4, 5, 6 verses here, and then I'm just going to talk to us a little bit about something. And I feel like that a lot of times as God's people, we kind of maybe take for granted or don't put as much importance or emphasis on it as we ought to. And I was reading the other morning about this, and a lot of other things are kind of overshadows this. And I just seen something and kind of come to, made me think, and I thought it might be good for us here this morning just to talk about it a little bit, and I want to do that. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints. Notice who it's written to, the saints, not just at Colossae, but the saints at Bible Way Church also, and all saints. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, saved people, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. I want to talk to us about several different things here, but I want to talk to us first of all about what I was talking about a minute ago, the part here it talks about in verse 2, talks about grace and peace, and in verse 4, it talks about faith and love. And verse 5, it talks about hope. And all these things are, truths of the Scripture and truths that we have as God's people. And it says to give thanks for all those. And what I want to think about or look at is giving thanks to God. Verse 3, we give thanks to God. I want to talk about us giving thanks. And most of the time, when we talk about giving thanks, we think about thanksgiving. And ain't nothing matter with that. But as God's people, we need to be thankful every day, every week, every hour. And I think we could probably even get it every minute, if that be possible. We need to give thanks to God for what he's done for us. And I thought about all these different things as I was just reading this, meditating, studying on it, that it says give thanks for here, and we're going to look at some of them. But the first thing I want to think about or talk about, and it's not directly here mentioned as giving thanks for, but if you look down in verse 5, it says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard. How many of you remembers when you heard? If you notice down in the latter part of verse 6, it mentions the grace of God in truth. How many remembers when you hear it in truth? I said one time in here, and preacher mentioned it not too long ago, about I heard the gospel, then I heard the gospel. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. And y'all know what I mean when I say that. But here, it talks about the gospel. And thank God for the gospel. We all ought to be really, really thankful for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we all know that's been saved, that we're here this morning because of the gospel. The Bible said, if the gospel be hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the gospel of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. I'm thankful and happy and glad this morning that I can stand here and report to you that the gospel shined unto me one day. Unless the gospel shines, the light shines. Paul on the road to Damascus was a persecutor of the church on his way down to Damascus, and that light shined in on him. When he got to Damascus, he was a different person. That's usually what happens when the light shines. You end up being a different person, but it talks about the gospel here. Well, what is the gospel? I just kind of thought about it, you know. We all know that the gospel, if you want to look at it, and I know there's more to it than that, but the gospel, in a nutshell, kind of narrowing it down, is death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, there's a lot more to it than that, but that is the basis of the gospel. But the thing that I really thought about when I was looking at this, not taking anything away from the gospel, but looking at the word of God. How would we have known about the gospel if it hadn't been for the word of God? How would we have known? And I thank God I thought about this too. God is a God of order. The Bible is a Bible of order. And God kind of set this thing up. Not a thing, that's not a good word, but the gospel and redemption and the nutshell here that we all know about as believers, not telling us nothing this morning we don't already know, just trying to remind us of some things. But this thing was so given, and I just, again, thinking and sitting and reading this and meditating on it, I thought about how that God has been so good to us and giving us the Word of God, not only giving it to us, but sending a person like the Apostle Paul and these other men that wrote the Scriptures and pinning it down and giving us a way that we could understand the gospel and a way that we could know what the gospel means. I mean, just look at it like this. If we had the gospel without the Word of God, what would it mean to us? Wouldn't mean too much, would it? But I thought about how God has brought this thing around, give us the Word of God, and I want to just look at that and a few things about the Word of God. In Hebrews, like I said, we'll be looking over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, we all know that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And God puts His Word above everything. And here it's talking about, I think, primarily the Old Testament patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth, Moses. But then in verse, and this is more directed toward us, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, he says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Not taking anything away from the Old Testament, not taking anything away from any of the Old Testament patriarchs, but in directing it to New Testament saints, it says we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto we do well that we take heed thereunto. I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, but thank God for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But if you really look at it, we're far more blessed than they ever thought about being. And I think some of them Old Testament patriarchs, they look for the day and long to see the day that we live in today as God's people. So we've been blessed as New Testament saints. And it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, and these are just some verses that I referenced and looked up, and I thought I'd read them to you. Our gospel came not unto you in word only. Ain't that amazing? Again, how God lined this thing up. He gave us the gospel, and He gave us the Word of God to explain the gospel to us. Not only that, did He give us that, but there was another ingredient that was lacking. And here it says, came not unto us in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. So, again, we can look at it in the sense of if we had the gospel and had the Word and didn't have the Holy Ghost, where would we be? So it's so complete, and that's what I was thinking about when I was looking at this and studying, how complete it is, the things that we have in the Scriptures. especially New Testament. Now, if you go back in the Old Testament, a lot of things was just kind of foggy. You know, they could see some things, but they really couldn't understand it. You know why? Because they didn't have the Word of God to explain it to them. But God give it to us, and we have the complete, full Word of God. No excuse for any of us not to be saved, first of all, and not to be the Christian we ought to be. And so, here he tells us, our gospel came not unto us in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance. Thank God for the blessed Holy Ghost. I'm convinced one day, Brother Lewis, several years ago, just as a young man, I heard the gospel preached, the preacher preached the gospel. And it was the truth of the Word of God. But I'm glad it didn't stop there. I'm glad there was a person and the Holy Spirit that delivered that into my heart. And that was what really allowed me to really hear the gospel. I'd heard it and heard it. But that other part of it, if you want to put it that way, of the Holy Ghost hadn't never really let me hear. And so we have a complete salvation in the Word of God, I guess would be a good way to put it. And Peter put it like this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Thank God for the Word of God. And I thought about this, and the Bible said the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing ye the body and the center, soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Boy, I tell you talk about a mouthful. If we'd just sit down and ponder on that for a day or two, Brother Rick. I mean, there's a lot being said there. I don't know if anything else can do that, anything like that, do you? Divide the joint and the spirit and the bone and the marrow. It's quick and powerful. I'm glad, again, as I hear the gospel, the Word of God, and God the Holy Spirit came to my heart, give me understanding, pierced my heart, showed me my need, and the gospel and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God will do all of those things in working together. They never work against each other. They always work together for the good. Thank God for that. No wonder the Apostle Paul writing to the young preacher, Timothy, no wonder he said, preach the gospel. Be instant in season, out of season. And I think, my opinion, this is opinion. I think it's right, though. No wonder that we have gotten such a mess in the religious realm that we have today. We've took the emphasis off the things that ought to be on and put them on other things. And I'm going to tell you something. And I've heard old Brother Billy Mitchell say this, and I believe it. God put all his eggs in one basket. And that's the thing that we're talking about here this morning. The Word of God, the gospel being preached, and God the Holy Spirit taking those two things and piercing a man's heart with it. And no wonder Paul said, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, for the time will come when we will not endure sound doctrine. We've lived to see that today. And heaped themselves teachers after, and some good men teachers, nothing against that. But when you take teaching and replace preaching with it, you're out of order. Somebody say amen. And that's come to pass, and we've seen that today. The teaching ministries of so-and-so, and the teaching ministry, but there ain't nothing matter with that. But don't replace preaching with teaching. There's a big difference. Preach the Word, be instant in its season, out of season. Thank God for the preacher that day that stood and preached to me. I'm still convinced today that's the way God does it. We ought to pray for our preacher and our pastor this morning. Not only him, but every true called man of God that's standing across our land today, preaching and proclaiming the Word's truth. We ought to have a Word in our heart. And a fella come to me just a few days ago, and we talked about praying for souls to be saved. We've been doing that, and It bothers me sometimes, Brother Rick, that we don't have that sense of urgency in our heart to see sinners saved. Maybe like we did at times past. And all of that stems out of this blessed old book. We're not got our priorities in order. We don't have a heart where it ought to be as far as the Word of God and studying the Word of God and coming with a burden in our heart and a desire in our heart to see sinners saved. And I'm going to tell you something. God's not changed. He's the same. And God still, it's His desire to see sinners saved. And when He gets out of the saving business, we'll be out of here. So, you know, it bothers me that myself, not talking about nobody else, I don't know nobody else's heart, but I know mine. And I know I'm not where I used to be. And I know I don't have the burden in my heart that I used to have. And I would be pretty safe in saying most of us are like that today. But we need to consider where God brought us from. And we need to consider how He brought us. I tell you how He brought us. He brought us through this blessed Word, the Gospel, the blessed Holy Ghost. That's how He brought us, and that's how He's going to take us on. And we need to be reminded of how good God's been to us, and we need to be thankful. And that's what the lesson's about this morning, being thankful. And Paul talks about some of these things here in verse 2. I just wanted to get to the Word of God first. And sometimes I think we look at these other things, not make them any more less or any more important, but I just, when I was looking at this, I thought, man, boy, we just, so many times in our study, in our meditation, and in our thinking, and in our worship, we just forget about how important the Gospel and the Word of God. And how we kind of slip away from that sometimes. This is it. We don't want to forget it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's, you can say what you want to, but this book's important. And how we treat it, I think, is important. And I'll tell you something else, and I think it's important to God how we feel about how it's treated. I don't think a Bible ought to be laid down on the coffee table and pile something up on top of it. Amen? I mean, I was just a young Christian, Brother Rick, and when I'd see something laying on top of the Bible, it bothered me. And it ought to bother us. This is God's Word to us. Most important thing we possess on this earth is this right here. I know we may not realize that this morning, but I tell you one thing. Hear this, if you don't hear nothing else. It might come to a place yet in some of our lives where we will realize that. But it shouldn't have to. We ought to realize it today. In verse 2, he said, to the saints and to the brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace. Thank God for grace. Talking about some things we ought to be thankful for. Grace and peace. Those are two great terms in the Scriptures. You know how we know about grace and peace? By access to the Word of God. Now over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4 and 15, it tells us this, for we now have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You can look at that and read it with me. I'll just turn over and read. I think I quote, I'm like Brother Rick. My mind don't work like it used to. I know there's some more in here like that. For we have not an high priest. Hebrews 5, 4, 15. I'm talking about access to the Word of God. We have access to Him. How can we have grace and peace? I know how I get it. Access to the throne of grace. That's what He's telling us about here. For we have not an high priest, cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Aren't you glad this morning that as God's people? Just something I happen to think about. I'm glad that I learned also in the Word of God, my access don't depend on my behavior. We ought to behave. We all know that. But we have access. And a lot of times that access is good if you're not behaving. Either way, we have access to the throne of grace. We don't have to take no turtle dove. We don't have to take no bullock. We don't have to take nothing. We just come to the throne of grace and find grace to help in a time of need. I think we're to thank God for that, don't you? Amen. Then in verse 4, talking about giving thanks, it says in verse 4, since we heard of your faith. How we get faith? How we get faith? Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Since we heard of your faith, thank God for the faith that God gives us. You know you have saving faith, and then you have just faith. Ain't that right? You have saving faith? If you're saved, you do. We walk by faith. We're saved by faith. We're going to heaven by faith. And that's the kind of faith we're talking about here this morning. Thank God for that. Then look in Christ Jesus and of the love. Well, we have a Hollywood love. Here it's talking about the love for the brethren. Love which we have for all the saints. Thank God for love that we have. And I know we can all say this with me this morning. I have a love today that I didn't have before I got the love I have. And though some people, even in the church realm, in the religious realm, church realm, I'm talking about, you know, saints, some of them are harder to love than others. Amen. I know I am. I'll put myself on that side. Me and Brother Wayne, we just, you know, we're like that. You know, I had a thought this morning. I'll share this with you. Might be crazy, but it was kind of, anyway. You know, I appreciate my grandkids, Brother Rick, more today than I did, say, when he was born. You know why? And I just thought about this morning. Because I think my wife understands, Brother Rick, that my ways are not something that I just try to do. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way I am. You know where I'm going? Because she sees that in my grandkids, that same trait. Amen, Ralph. And that makes it a little bit easier on me because I think she's understanding that my behavior and my attitude is not something that I've worked up or just do to be aggravating or anything. It's just the way I am. I don't know if you understand it or not, preacher, but I thought about that this morning. So it's, you know, we are what we are by the grace of God. Some things we can change and some things we can't change. Lord, help us, Wayne. I'm talking about me and you and a few others in here, not just me and you. I don't want to mention the other names. They get mad at me. But I'm saying we are what we are. And I know Wayne, I can say this. Wayne says, John, he won't talk to... Well, I don't talk to a lot of people, Wayne, sometimes. It's just kind of the way I am. I got a grandson. I can be a talking to him. Amen, Kathy? If he don't want to hear it, he don't hear it. You see where I'm going? It might go along with this a little bit. I don't know. But anyway, I thought about that this morning. All that being said, I think Kathy, in my older days, is kind of accepting the way that I am. Thank God for all these things. It says to be thankful. Not for that, but for faith and love, back to love. We have a love for our brethren that the world don't really understand. And I can't explain that to you. I think you know what I'm talking about. But it is the way it is. There's people in this church, as a matter of fact, most of the people in this church are closer to me than my real brothers and sisters. Now, you take a person out in the world not saved, they don't know nothing. They think you're crazy up there or something like that, you know. But we're really not. And you know, Paul, he don't write much about, I don't know if he wrote anything about his family. But he wrote a whole lot about his brothers and sisters. That just inclines me to believe it. He thought more of them than he did his family. Of course, I know God gave him direction. He penned it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But that being said, he don't say nothing about his blood kin. It's all time about old Paul, Peter, John, you know. Priscilla, Aquila, all those people. Brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to be really close-knit. Shouldn't be anything. Preacher preached or taught Sunday, was it Wednesday night? On what did you call that preacher? Unity. Told you my mind not working too good. Unity. Shouldn't be anything. Nothing come between us. Even if one side's wrong, that's what he's talking about. We are to not be easily offended. And again, maybe some of that comes into play like I was talking about a while ago. Some people may be easily offended, can't help it. I don't know. That might be their thing. But really, we should love one another. Might come a day when we really, really need one another. I tell you, when things get to going wrong, when everything's going right, you know, everything's hunky-dory, you don't think about it much. The way we are, the way we're made, the way we're built. Let me tell you something. When things go to getting bad and going wrong, what we're talking about means a lot more. Don't it? If you was wanting somebody to pray for you, who would you want? If you had a dire need, I mean a bad case, who would you want to pray for you? Might have to ask that fellow to pray for you that you talked about day before yesterday. That wouldn't be too good, would it? Lord, help us have unity in the church. Not only in this church, but unity with the other churches. We're not by ourselves in this thing. That's like we pray a lot of times. It just dawns on me, man, I need to pray for them preachers in them other churches, them people in them other churches. That's our brothers and sisters too. We're all going to the same place, like faith. Love for one another. Then, not the least of the bunch, anyway, I think, and for the hope. Now, I don't know how you feel about hope. About all of us in here are about the same boat. We're getting on up there a little bit. And this hope, to me, today, means a lot more than it did last week. Thank God for the hope. Look over in Hebrews chapter 6. Again, I want to read it. One of my favorite places in the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. That by two immutable things, that being an oath and a promise, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. That ain't a consolation like second prize. That consolation means a strong comfort. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope, upon the hope set before us. I'm glad to tell you this morning that several years ago, I fled for refuge and laid hold on a hope. At that time, I didn't think too much about that hope. And actually didn't know nothing about it. But as years has went by and times progressed, Brother Rick, I've learned a little bit about it. If you're worth your salt, you will learn some things as you go. You don't have to be smart, Brother Rick, to do that. You have to be acceptable, I guess, to what this book says. But ain't you glad one day you laid hold on a hope? What about that hope? Well, look in verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Thank God. As God's people, we have it. Listen, this world's in a mess. All you hear is politics. And I never seen such a mess in all my life as this country, this nation, and the people of this country are so unknowledgeable, I guess, of this book that we're in such a mess that I don't think it'll ever be straightened out, and I don't think it's supposed to be, but anyway, we're in a mess. I mean, really. But here it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. What's that mean? Well, that means if you're a born-again believer, you've been saved by the grace of God. And like I said, you may be there and you may not have progressed enough to you understand what this means. And that's, I think, some people like that. But let me tell you what it means this morning, just in case. That means if you're saved and you're born again, that you've got an anchor. Everybody knows what anchor is, don't you? When I see anchor, you know, I don't think of an anchor in a John boat. I think of an anchor in like a Titanic. When you think of that, double that about a million times. That's the anchor we have. It's an anchor that's sure and steadfast. Ain't nothing going to shake it. Don't matter how this world, how bad it gets. Don't matter how bad times get. Don't matter if World War III breaks out tomorrow. It don't matter. It don't matter what happens. Think of the worst thing that you can imagine. You know, I just thought about this. This now thought about it. I don't know. Some of you may not even watch TV. I don't watch. I need to watch less of it than what I do. I'll put it that way. But I don't watch hardly anything except the news. And as Brother Billy said, that zipped up ball throwing down the field. I don't know. That may not. I know I can do less. But anyway, just don't put my emphasis on me. Just put it on all of us because we're all about alike. But anyway, the worst. What I was getting around to say this. Have you noticed on the commercials of those things, the movies they're making now. Anybody ever notice anything about that? Some of you watch it. CNN and Fox News, they have it on there, on in-betweens. The movies that they're making now seems to me, and I don't watch them. I just see them, you know, when they make them as bad as they can make them. Not necessarily sexual scenes, but I'm talking about destruction
demonic.
Yeah, they're demonic. I mean, about everything on there's demonic, but it's the destruction of it. You know, everything just shoot, bang, bang, and everything turned down. Think of anything. I'm just trying to say this, and I'm gonna hush. Think of the worst things you can think of, and I just happen to think about that because those things that you see on there, I mean, it's terrible. Think of the worst thing that you can think of. Worst situation that you could ever get in. The anchor still holds. I don't know about you, but boy, that brings a comfort to my heart and soul. The anchor will hold. Even when we don't think it'll hold. Even when we doubt. It's sure and steadfast. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's something this world needs today. That's something this generation needs today. They don't know nothing about nothing like that. Everything's shaky. Everything's questionable. Everything's looks like it's on the way down. But listen, we're on the way up. We've got an anchor. Not depending on us. Not depending on what we do. What we say, where we go, our actions. We're anchored behind the veil. Thank God for that. We ought to be blessed by that. We ought to be encouraged by that. Somebody said one time, charge hell with a water pistol. I don't know about that, but I tell you right now, I know one thing. I've got an anchor. Have you got that anchor this morning? If you have, you ought to say thank the Lord. Give us a lot of things here to be thankful for. But all those things that we talked about, here's the bring all of it together. This is what I thought about when I was looking at this. All of those things, whether it's grace, faith, hope, all those things are brought about by the Word of God. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't know about none of that. Ain't that something? Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved.